Captain Radio. Okay, those rotten stains that won't shift from the carpet or they're somewhere else in the home, the man that can fix it for all of us, Mark Emicides, better known as Dr. Chemical, has made his way into the studio. Would you mind cleaning the carpet before you go?
No problem.
I suddenly thought that we should have warned you. Nice to see you, Mark.
Yeah, good to be here.
Thank you for coming in today. And we do welcome calls now. Let me just let everyone know, well, who haven't called before, if you wish to call, please do straight away, if you don't mind, or as soon as you can, on 9484 1927, because everyone comes out of everywhere with their stains and solutions for them. So, generic brands.
Yeah.
Oh, can I tell you something funny?
Sure, go ahead.
Last weekend, I was at Galleria, and yep, I went into Red Dot just to get some pens, actually. Mm-hmm. And while I was in there, I bought all these cleaning products because they're quite cheap in there. And they had this huge box of soap powder, right? Yep. And it wasn't that expensive. And it was very heavy, along with all the other stuff I'd bought. So I had to buy this big Asian plastic bag. You know the Czech ones?
I do, yes.
Okay. Yep. So I put them in there, and it was so heavy carrying them up the escalator and the bag and outside. And I thought, oh, darn it, I'm going to drag it on the ground through the car, you know, the parking mm-hmm. area, through to my thing. Anyway, I get to my car and I open the boot and I look back. There's 50 metres of soap powder in a line all the way back to where I'd come out of the shopping centre. And it wasn't a little trickle. It was the whole box had gone because it had worn through the bottom of the bag and the cardboard of the box. So I rang Galleria and I said, look, I want to let you know I'm not a terrorist. It's not powder that's going to kill anybody. Yep. I do apologise. If you throw water on it, it's going to froth. She laughed.
I've got a funnier story along the same lines. Many years ago at Wollongong University, a security guard stole a tin of paint.
Oh, right.
Put it in the boot of his car and drove off. Yeah. What he didn't know was that the tin of paint fell over in the boot of his car. That wasn't so bad, but the lid came off, which he didn't know. So he drove home, and unluckily for him, he lived about 2 kilometres from the university.
They fell over the trail.
So there was a white trail from the university to his driveway, and this became known locally, and people would just drive to follow this trail of paint up in his driveway. Needless to say, he resigned immediately.
You can't deny that, can you?
That's right. And the road has been resurfaced now, but it was there for a couple of years.
I don't know why someone didn't yell out to me, right? Excuse me, your detergent is pouring out of the bag. Yeah. Would you stop? No one said a word. And the same thing, they could have trailed me, come to my car and found who I was.
That's right.
But I took off in a bit of a hurry. I was so embarrassed. Anyway, that aside, laundry soap powder, is there a difference with generic to the bigger brands?
Well, you're talking about buying it from the Red Dot stores.
Yeah.
If you buy a premium brand, let's say Omo or something like that, in the Red Dot store, it's usually a different formula from the Omo that you buy in Coles or Woolies.
They're allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Because, with the same name?
Yes. Because when the same companies sell the same product internationally, they sell it according to their market. And the market is different in every country.
Really? Why? Aren't clothes the same?
They are, but it's the perception of how to clean things.
Oh, and culturally.
I'll give an example. In Australia, we use cold water a lot to wash. Yep. Nowhere else in the world do they do that.
Oh, okay.
It's an unusual thing to use to wash your clothes in cold water.
Yep.
So the formulas that are made for overseas, like they come from Thailand quite a lot, and they are often a different formula. So don't think that if you're buying Omo from a Red Dot store, it's going to be as good as the Omo from Coles or Woolies.
Obviously, I wasn't meant to use it.
That's right.
Now, that's very good to know. Actually, we've got a caller coming through, first of all, and we'll get back to that in a while. Good afternoon to you, Sharon.
Oh, good afternoon, Jenny.
Yes.
G'day, Sharon.
I'm sure I'm not the first person who's asked you this question, but I've got a kitten that has taken a great like to my carpet.
Yep.
Over and over and over again, and I'm just about beside myself now. I googled it and I went and bought an enzyme stain cleaner, pretty much poured the bottle on it on there and had a carpet cleaner, and then got some vinegar, put that on there and the same. And she's still really interested. I've got the chili out at the moment, thinking of putting that across the carpet. But any other suggestions? I know it's not an easy thing to get rid of, but I'm desperate.
And to deter the cat.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying that the stain is still there after attempting to clean it.
I can still smell it.
Yep.
And I know the cat still smells it because I've locked her out of the room.
Yep.
And she's still interested in it. But I'm just, you know, gosh, it took me all day to carpet clean it.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go back there. I just don't know what else to do.
All right.
To get rid of it.
Okay. Try Preen Vanish Carpet Foam. It's a very good product. So you say you spray the foam on the carpet, follow the instructions on the side of the tin, and that'll get most things off, and it will leave a pleasant smell behind, which should deter the cat from coming back there.
Well, someone told me the main problem with cat urine is that it actually never dries. The protein in it remains wet forever. That was by a carpet cleaner guy. I don't know if that's correct or not, but that would explain why the scent would stay in there for a long time, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, the issue is that because a carpet is porous, the urine will get down into the underlying everything, so it's very, very hard to get it out completely. And, of course, cats are much more sensitive with their smell than what we are. Now, I would have tried vinegar because the vinegar will neutralise the amines, which is what is the smell in urine, but you say you've tried that and the cat still comes back.
Yeah, I've even lifted the carpet up because it's along the edge.
Yep.
And I've cut out the underlay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gosh, you've worked hard on it, Sharon.
I have, yeah. If anyone who knows me well would probably know this story because I've been carrying on about it for the last week.
Yep.
You poor thing.
All right.
All right, well, okay.
I'll give it another go.
Okay, let me give you another strategy. One strategy is use an oxidizer. Now, oxidizers work by the oxidizer actually destroys the chemical, in this case, the amine. And oxidizers are chemicals with active oxygen on the label somewhere. An example is Preen Oxy Action Laundry Pre-Wash.
Oxy Action
with a Y. So OXY hyphen Action.
Action Pre-Wash.
Yeah. Now, that's an oxidizer. So soak the part of the carpet with that and don't wipe it up, just leave it and let the oxidizer do the work, and that may destroy all the proteins and amines.
Fred, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jenny, Dr. Chemical.
G'day, Fred.
Yes, Fred.
I've got troubles with my windows. I had window tint on the place when we bought it, and I pulled the actual tint off and just left a residue on the windows.
Mm.
I've tried acetone and two or three other things. I just don't seem to be able to remove it.
Well, you've tried acetone, that's pretty serious. Acetone will get most things off. I think that glass has a certain level of porosity, and I've come across this before where the physical stuff has been removed, in this case a tint, but there's something remaining behind. So all I can suggest is something strongly alkaline, and that might draw it out, so hit it with some oven cleaner. So get some Easy Off oven cleaner, spray that on. Leave it for, say, 10 or 15 minutes.
Gosh.
And then just wipe it away. And that's a good general purpose cleaner. If that doesn't get it out, then I'm afraid I'm out of ideas.
Get new windows.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we'll try that.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. No, I just thought of one other idea. If the alkaline doesn't work, try an acid. Right? Yeah. So one of those will probably work.
Like
so now, you want hydrochloric. Now, the beauty of glass is that it is extremely chemically resilient. You can use the strongest acid, except for hydrofluoric, which you can't buy off the shelf anyway.
No.
But hydrochloric acid won't damage glass. So so get some hydrochloric acid from the hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 1:1 is concentrated enough.
In water.
Wear gloves, you know, just follow the instructions. And try rubbing it with that. And I'd be surprised if the oven cleaner or the acid wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, it just leaves the film on. You can't get the glass nice and shiny.
No, you don't want that.
No.
Good on you, Fred.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye. Joan, hello there.
Oh, hi, Jenny.
Hi, Joan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got some a dried blood, a couple of spots on white cotton shorts, and I only wash once a week. Obviously, it was in a spot where I hadn't picked it up. So what would get that out?
Okay, have they been washed in warm or hot water yet?
It's cold water wash. I have washed them in cold water, but it was in a spot where I've only just noticed it.
All right. Okay, I think you can get that out. Okay, go and get some BioZet Attack Laundry Liquid.
BioZet?
attack.
Yeah, Biozet attack. It's pretty expensive, but there's a reason for it. It's a very good product. Yeah. Now it's that's an enzyme-based cleaner, and enzymes will get blood out. Blood is a protein, and the protease enzymes will get the blood out. Now, so put it on and use it as a spot cleaner. So rub it in with your fingers. Now, it's important to use your fingers because that will activate the enzymes at the right temperature.
The warmth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Enzymes are very temperature-specific action. About 40 degrees, which is about body temperature, is the optimum concentration for the enzymes to do their stuff. So rub it in with your fingers, and that'll achieve the dual effects of the mechanical action of removing the blood and activating the enzymes to chemically attack the blood. So just take your time, take about 10 or 15 minutes of rubbing it in, rinse it out, and repeat as necessary, and that should do the job for you.
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Now, that product you just mentioned, can you use it on anything else?
Yeah, you can.
What sort of stains?
Enzymes are very good for any natural stain, so any food stain.
Okay.
And, of course, with clothes, the most common stain is some sort of food stain.
Yeah, curry.
Yeah. And also body odour or sort of body fat, like grease from around your collar.
Yep.
The enzymes will do that job nicely.
So it's Biozet
attack.
Attack.
Yeah.
Liquid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, liquid or powder.
All right. Who do we have? We have got Teresa. Hello, Teresa.
Oh, good afternoon, Jenny. Mark, I hope you can help me with this problem.
Yep.
I've got air fresheners around, you know, inside the home. You know, the ones that they have batteries and they release the scented air from time to time. Well, one of them has leaked underneath the actual container onto a wood cabinet. And, of course, it looks all... I haven't been able to remove it, although I haven't used any chemical, waiting that you would come onto the program one day and I'd be listening and I would ask you. At the moment, it's just got a doily sitting on where it's marked.
Yep.
Is there anything that I'm able to remove it with? Obviously, it's the sticky stuff that's come out of that little cylinder that's inside, you know?
Yep. Is the wood cabinet sealed? So is there varnish on it?
Yes.
All right, you shouldn't have a problem then. Use some sugar soap.
Oh, okay.
So sugar soap's available in different formats, liquid, solid, powder, doesn't matter. They all work.
Yes, I have seen them. I haven't got one in the home, but I can go out and buy one. Yes, I have noticed that, you know, on the shelves, yes.
Yeah. Sugar soap is a very old formula, and it's because it works so well. It's essentially washing soda with a bit of detergent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
It's a very good general purpose cleaner for that kind of thing.
All right. Good luck, Teresa.
Okay, then. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Bye-bye, Teresa. Hello, Maggie.
Oh, good afternoon, Jenny. Hello. And Mark. I was wondering if you'd be able to, Mark, recommend something to get the fragrance out of the rubber seal of a slow-fast cooker.
I
put it outside, I've washed it in vinegar, all sorts of things, and I can't
is it the rubber seal?
Smell out.
Is it the rubber seal in a slow cooker?
And I take it off and scrub it and et cetera, but I can't get the smell out of it.
Alright, that's a job for bicarb soda.
Okay, I did try, but I guess I didn't do it the right way.
Okay, so when you say you tried it, how did you try it?
I made bicarb soda into a paste, and I rubbed it all around with my fingers and then decided a pastry brush might be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rinsed it off, put it outside to air, but it still smells of the last... If you make a curry,
then
it smells of curry, and then the next time it might smell of Irish stew or something.
Yep. Okay, well, you have to actually soak it in the bicarb. So is that possible? Can you put it in a container where you can soak it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because it's a slow process. Because rubber is porous, and to get the smell out will take a bit of time. So soak it overnight. Bicarb's an excellent deodorizer because it's an amphoteric compound, which means it's part acid, part alkaline. So it will react with both acids and bases, and that's why it's such a good...
So how much bicarb do you put in the water?
Good on you, Jen. I was just going to ask that.
That's a girl question.
You don't need a whole lot.
That doesn't mean much.
Depending on how big your vessel is, maybe half a cup in a couple of litres of water, you know, something like that, that'd be plenty.
The thing is, though, you're going to have to do this every time you've cooked in it because you say the smell comes after every time.
Mm.
Why don't you buy another vessel?
It seems to just...
Hold
it's
it.
A new one. Hold it. Yeah. And... I'm getting a bit fed up now.
Okay. Let me give you a couple of quick things that might work. This might do quickly. Try metho. So get some metho, soak a rag in it, and wipe that around. And because metho is a very good general-purpose solvent, and because it's got such low viscosity, it will get into the rubber quite easily and quite nicely.
And then wash it off.
Yeah.
And then wash it off. So but, the smell.
Yeah. But it'll evaporate anyway because it's so volatile.
Mm.
Yep.
Okie dokie. So should I try the bicarb soda overnight and then try the vinegar?
If it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, try the metho first.
Metho?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds terrific. And soak it overnight?
No. Just put it on a rag and wipe it. If it's going to work, it'll work straight away.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, it's throw the darn thing away till next winter and get another one.
you shouldn't have to.
No, you shouldn't have to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks, Mackie. Hello, Len.
G'day. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead, Len.
Just on the window tinting.
Yep.
I'm going through the same thing myself at the moment. And what I have found does get it off, you just do it in small patches though, is paint stripper, poly paint stripper sort of thing.
Okay, yep.
Put that on, it melts it away, leave it for about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Get a scraper onto it,
104.
Scrape it off, and that'll still leave a bit of gunge, you know, but it's got to be cleaned with a window cleaner or anything, but it does actually melt the film and take it off. As I say, only in small patches, though, because if you leave it for too long, it'll dry and basically reset.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I love it when people...
patches.
I love getting good ideas from people.
Yeah.
Now, paint strippers, or the best ones, use dichloromethane as the active ingredient. It's an excellent, extremely aggressive solvent for this kind of thing, which is why it's so good at getting paint off.
Yeah.
Now, you can buy it from Bunnings, and you can buy it in a gelled form. I forget the actual name of the brand, but look on the ingredients on the can. Look for dichloromethane and use that. And, yes, that's an excellent idea. That will probably work quite nicely.
Good on you, Len.
Poly paint stripper is the one that I've actually got.
Okay, all right.
Yep, that works as well.
Yep.
Gee, good advice. Thank you very much for sharing that.
No worries. Have a good day.
Thanks, Len. Thank you.
There was an excellent paint stripper that Masters used to sell.
Yeah.
It was called Citri Strip. Citri Strip, as in citrus.
Oh, Citri Strip.
Yeah, Citri Strip. It was brilliant.
Yeah, for doing this sort of thing.
And Masters have now got into business. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, what a shame.
So it is, yeah.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good.
Hello, Phil.
Thank you. Go ahead.
There. I used to install window tint as a profession.
All right.
It's an American company called Nunsun, N-U-N-Sun. There are several grades of it, but the main thing was when I used to go on to dry, I used to do the measures and everything, and the fitting, up north, Headland, Carnarvon, all through Onslow. But the main thing was to get the window clean itself with methylated spirits and wipe that clean. And we'd only spray it once you fit the, cut the tint roughly to the shape, getting two edges straight. And then we'd stand back and cover the whole window with distilled water only. You couldn't use any tap water because of the impurities. And then we'd put the tint on. The film used to float on the distilled water for a certain period before it started to cling, enabling us to line up the edges. And then with a rubber squeezy, we'd spray the whole tint on the interior of the room with distilled water again, enabling the rubber squeegee to flow over the film easily to get out all the excess water from the film and the glass. But I always knew that the distilled water activated some sort of film they had on the film itself, which come in contact with the distilled water. I'd never believe that it was just distilled water that made the film cling, but then just finish off with straight edges and a good standing blade. But I only ever had one occasion to remove it, and it peeled off all right, but it did leave a film on it, which we found in the end was activated only by hitting it with distilled water again and with one of those razor blade scrapes. You know the old-fashioned razor blades you shave with?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yep.
One of those only, no other paint scrapers or anything metal. It was just a pure razor, and that used to take off this...
Distilled water. Oh.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Sometimes, if you have difficulty getting shower screens clean, you know, you use all the premium brands, and there's still something left behind.
The white.
Yep. Now, that is probably calcium sulfate, because it's completely chemically inert. You can't get off with any chemical. Had one guy on the website said he used razor blades, and it got it off. Now, the good thing, glass is extremely hard, and it's very difficult to actually scratch it with any sort of mechanical abrasion.
Mm.
You know, that's why glass cutters use diamond tips.
Yeah,
you know, because normal razor blades and that, they won't damage the glass.
Okay, so that's interesting. So, would you use distilled water to get rid of the white spots on the shower screen glass?
It's hard to see what the water would do.
Okay.
But the mechanical action of the razor blade, certainly.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much, Phil.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll see you down the trade winds, Jenny.
Yeah, I'd love to. See you, Phil.
See you.
Letting everyone know where I have my little drink occasionally. Gary, good afternoon.
Hi, it's Gary. I want to agree with Phil. The razor blade is excellent for taking... cleaning, shower screens, exceptional. Just scrape it off, and that's it.
Excellent.
And another thing for stains, my wife found it one time. I had some Glit spot remover, carpet spot remover, you get from Bunnings. And my granddaughter had a dress that had a stain on it, had been on there for yonks. And she sprayed it on there, and it came out. They were amazed, and... It was actually, you could buy it in a spray bottle, a 2-liter bottle, or a 4-liter from Bunnings. And I said, this is cheaper than buying the, you know, the normal sprays you get. And easy for everything.
What was the product?
It's Glitz.
Glitz, yep.
Glitz.
Yep.
Carpet stain remover.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Yep.
It is beautiful. It works on everything.
Yep.
And the razor blade is another thing that I use on the top of a stovetop that has burns on it. It just cleans it off like magic.
Yep.
Oh, that's excellent to know.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times the mechanism of cleaning something industrially with one of those cleaners is the same as the actual clothes cleaners use. I did a comparison for Today Tonight a couple of years ago where I compared three classes of laundry pre-washers. There were the enzyme cleaners, the oxidizers, and the degreasers. And the degreaser is a product called Kenko, which you can buy from Bunnings. It's an industrial degreaser.
Right.
That had the best overall result of all of them.
Is that right?
It didn't get all the stains off, but some got some off better than other ones. But overall, the Kenko was the best, which makes sense because the older style Preen used to be a degreaser.
Oh.
That's all it was.
Really?
Preen, the great unstainer, was just a dry cleaner in a can. The solvent was trichloroethane, which is what dry cleaners use. The mechanism was just degreasing the clothes.
Incredible.
Because if something won't wash out, it's normally grease or fat based.
Yeah, true.
So the degreaser got it out. So
incredible.
So there's a lot of similarity across different products.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Gary.
No, you're quite welcome. I bring that up. I know exactly. My wife uses it all the time, and I use it all the time too.
As long as it works. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. That is an interesting point. You've mentioned this so many times. Oven cleaners will do this, and toothpaste, which I've been using on grout, down on the floor with the toothbrush and the toothpaste, and I'll tell you what, it really works on the grouting.
Yeah, and I'll give you another tip I've discovered recently. We are talking about generic products before.
Yeah.
Very often, the generic brand is the same as a premium brand.
I was wondering that.
Because... if, let's say, Coles or Woolies, they don't actually own any manufacturing facilities.
No.
Everything with their name on it is manufactured under license to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, very often they'll go to a premium brand and they'll ask them for the Coles or Woolies brand.
Yep.
And the premium brand, they use their product and just sell it at a cheaper rate.
Wow.
Because they can sell it in bulk. Now, what I've discovered, I'm convinced that Coles Cool Mint Mouthwash is actually Listerine.
Wow, there you go, everyone.
And the way and the way you pick it is just get the products and look at the ingredients on the label.
If
the numbers are identical, which they are on these two products, it's probably the same stuff.
Well, there you go. And save a fortune. Alicia, we'll be back with you in... We're talking stains. Alicia, good afternoon to you.
Actually, Alicia stepped away from the phone.
I thought a voice dropped.
Talk on the phone. I'm the partner.
Oh, good on you. What was your name?
Tony.
Tony. Thank you, Tony. I thought a voice had changed dramatically.
Yes. Alicia's got a ship on top, but somehow she's got some black eyeliner on it, and she doesn't... She's tried washing in the top, but the eyeliner stain is still on the top, and she doesn't know what to do to get the stain out.
It's like paint. Eyeliner?
Yeah. All right. You want some acetone on that?
Acetone?
Yeah. So get some acetone from the hardware store. Put it in a cup or some sort of a container. Then just isolate the part of the garment with the eyeliner and just sort of dip that bit in. Just dip it in and out, in and out, in and out, and you should see it start to come out pretty pretty easily. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right then. Okay.
Pass that on?
I'll pass that on to her.
Good on you, Tony.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now. Bye. Hello, Reg. Our final call.
Yes.
Yes, Reg.
I heard mention, I thought the guy, the talkback gentleman, said something about trichloroethylene.
Trichloroethane, that used to be the solvent in Preen. And it used to be what,
okay.
And it used to be what dry cleaners used.
That's right. I thought you said trichloroethylene because that is a very dangerous substance, which we are now having a lot of retired firefighters suffering from all sorts of reactions from coming in contact with that, because that used to be used in fire extinguishers as well.
Wow. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was also a dry cleaning method of the thing.
Yeah.
And a family, I heard a story once when I was in the fire brigade of a family cleaning a lounge, having then had their meal and then sat back on the lounge, and I think there were some fatalities.
Oh, gosh.
It attacked. Because that particular substance can attack the liver.
My goodness.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons that entire class of chemicals has been taken off the market now because it's persistent. That is, it's non-biodegradable. Now,
that's right.
50 years ago, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you made a chemical, it was non-biodegradable, it's stable. If I said a chemical stable, that sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
But what it means is that it's non-biodegradable. It doesn't break down.
Yeah.
So all of these firefighting chemicals, and PFAS is one, it's non-biodegradable. So it just persists and builds up and builds up and builds up in the environment. And this is the reason why that they've all been taken off the market.
Yeah,
now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm glad you rang through on that one, Reg. It's quite scary. My son's a fireman, so hope he hasn't been in contact.
What's his name?
Grant Clemisha. He's in Perth.
All right, yeah, well, I was 1962 till 1998.
Okay, he's been there a long time.
Now I look after the retired firefighters.
Oh, good on you. That's really good to know.
Mm. But the other thing, too, that they're suffering with, too, now, is they're finding that in the foam compound used for fighting fires, there is a compound in that that is causing some very serious types of cancers and one or two things as well. So,
That's entirely possible. Yeah. One of the most dangerous things about fires is that things are being burnt that shouldn't be burned. So, for example, when plastics burn, they produce a whole range of really nasty toxic chemicals. I'm not surprised that firefighters are having health problems because of this. Because really, like, for example, if you smoke a cigarette in the presence of chloroform, the cigarette converts it to phosgene as it sucks through the cigarette, which was a chemical toxin, in World War One.
Gosh.
It was a poison gas in World War One. So when you burn chemicals, they can transform into some really nasty things at times.
Well, that's why now today they have so much more protective equipment and gear that they have to wear, but they can only wear it for up to 20 minutes and then they've got to have a break.
Right.
Because of its heat generation, body heat generation, and the fact that in a lot of cases it's pretty heavy. And when you're hauling a hose around at the same time, it's not really light work.
You guys are absolutely amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
You really are. You are kings. You're fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much, Reg.
Okay. Thanks much.
Nice to speak to you. There you go. Gee, they do a pretty good job, don't they?
They do.
The fire ace, they go in as we come out.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Now, we want you to write your book, and you haven't done so yet.
I'm just editing, and I'm just going through the final edit now. And once I do this, it's off the publisher.
What are you going to call it?
I haven't decided yet. I don't know what to call it. I'm thinking I want it to be short and sharp and to the point.
To the point, yeah.
But I'm thinking of just calling it Clean.
No, that doesn't do it.
Doesn't it? Okay.
No, we've got to know. No, it's got to be something that it's an active name.
Yeah.
You know, it ends up clean.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, well, somebody might ring with a good title.
Or send a suggestion for the title through my website, drchemical.com.au.
Simple as that. And questions if you've got, if you haven't been able to get through today.
And I'll give you a free copy of the book if you come up with the winning title.
Good on you. Thanks, Mark. Always good to see you.
Good to be here.